Otherwise, we would be falling into the trap of the terrorists who want to create this impression that what is happening is part of anti-Semitism.
That each bomb is,
each bomb
is an anti-Semitism.
Is an act of anti-Semitism.
Il est difficile de savoir exactement pourquoi les terroristes s'en prennent aux communautés juives. Il y a deux hypothèses qui sont celles d'une déstabilisation générale par l'intermédiaire de l'objectif que sont les juifs, déstabilisation politique des sociétés occidentales. C'est un premier objectif certainement, pas seulement des terroristes mais de ceux qui sont derrière eux. La deuxième hypothèse qu'on doit retenir, c'est qu'on veut séparer les juifs de diaspora d'Israël en leur faisant croire que la politique d'Israël mène au terrorisme et qu'elle met en danger les communautés juives de diaspora. Alors d'abord sur ce...
One of the reasons for this terrorist approach, there are two hypotheses. One, that perhaps they want to lead to a general political destabilization. Second, that perhaps they hope to separate diaspora Jews from Israel by making diaspora Jews feel that their insecurity arises from the fact of their support from Israel and therefore they shouldn't do it.
Bien. Alors, je ne sais pas à quel point vous en êtes allé dans la discussion sur ce plan-là. En tout cas, en ce qui concerne le ministre de la France, Claude Cheysson, après une rencontre avec Arafat à Tunis, il a clairement dit que l'intransigeance d'Israël mènerait à d'autres actes de terrorisme en Europe et vis-à-vis des communautés juives. Donc juste après une rencontre avec Arafat à Tunis, il y avait finalement une mise en garde du ministre des Relations extérieures de la France vis-à-vis d'Israël, mais surtout s'adressant aux communautés juives pour leur dire « faites pression sur Israël pour qu'il y ait un changement de politique pour ne pas que vous subissiez le terrorisme en Europe ».
He gives us an example, the meeting of Foreign Minister Cheysson of France with Arafat, where immediately after Cheysson warned that there would be further terrorist attacks against the Jewish communities in Europe, thus, in a sense, bolstering the thesis that Jewish communities must dissociate themselves from Israel or bring pressure upon Israel to change its policies or otherwise be ready for further attacks on this front.
Question. Is there no feeling that the killing of Jews, qua Jews, is in and of itself a rewarding act that beyond the political motive, that is there no feeling that there's hatred of Jews and striking against a Jew anywhere is somehow in revenge for Israel?
À la question, la question pourrait la résumer en un sens, c'est dire est-ce que finalement ce ne sont pas des purs actes d'antisémitisme qui ont pour but juste de tuer des juifs en tant que juifs, et une sorte de vengeance, par exemple, après l'intervention israélienne au Liban. On peut estimer que des responsables palestiniens ou arabes auraient voulu attenter à la vie de juifs uniquement pour les détruire en tant que juifs. Moi, je ne crois pas à cette hypothèse. Je pense que c'est beaucoup plus large, que c'est beaucoup plus politique, que c'était un crime de professionnel d'un commando organisé en ce qui concerne la rue des Rosiers, et que ça a un objectif politique beaucoup plus large, et qui n'est pas simplement de tuer des juifs pour tuer des juifs. Je ne crois pas à cette hypothèse que vous soulignez.
He summarized your question, and then he said he does not believe this hypothesis. He believed that it was an organized commando, and that its objectives are much wider in the political framework than simple to that.
Okay. Bien. Je voudrais une observation complémentaire, autre observation. Dans ce cadre-là, plutôt, de l'antisémitisme qui a pu déferler en Europe par l'explosion de bombes, le langage des responsables des communautés juives ne doit pas être obligatoirement calqué sur le langage des responsables israéliens. Je veux dire que nous avons connu le discours du Premier ministre d'Israël disant qu'il y avait une crise d'antisémitisme sans précédent en France. À un moment où la politique de la France était particulièrement divergente par rapport à celle d'Israël. Donc on peut comprendre le contexte, on peut comprendre aussi que le Premier ministre d'Israël soit préoccupé de la situation des Juifs en France, mais il y a une analyse politique d'un responsable israélien qui ne rejoint pas toujours l'analyse politique que doit être celui d'un leader d'une communauté juive, aussi bien en France que dans un autre pays.
Within the framework of anti-Semitism in Europe and the explosion of bombs, He does not believe that local Jewish communal leaders should necessarily base their language and their reactions upon the basis of that which is Israel. For example, he gave the case of Prime Minister Begin's reaction speaking about the outbreak of a wave of anti-Semitism in France when the policies of France and Israel were particularly divergent for a particular moment. And he believes it is a mistake for Jewish communities abroad to necessarily follow an Israeli lead in reaction or in language.
Bon, là, il y a une difficulté pour la plupart des responsables communautaires. Parce que la plupart des responsables des communautés juives ont en réalité, craignent en réalité de se séparer du gouvernement d'Israël et de faire le jeu des ennemis d'Israël. Et donc, dans ces cas-là, ils restent silencieux, ne disent rien. Et finalement, c'est le cas général, en tout cas en France, je crois en Belgique également, en Suisse et dans d'autres pays limitrophes de la France, en tout cas de langue française, de responsables communautaires qui n'ont pas de discours propre, qui ne laissent parler qu'Israël. Et comme en plus, à travers les médias, il n'y a qu'un discours qui est fort, parce qu'il est violent, parce qu'il est provocateur en certaines circonstances, c'est celui du Premier ministre d'Israël et qu'il passe les médias, les responsables communautaires, même si certains ont des velléités, ne passent pas par les médias. Donc on arrive à la situation suivante, que la seule voix des Juifs est celle du Premier ministre d'Israël. Et que la voix du Premier ministre d'Israël, si effectivement, représente peut-être un consensus, c'est ce que pense une large majorité de Juifs, dans certains cas, et notamment d'antisémitisme ou d'explosion de bombes dans les principales villes où habitent les Juifs, ne représente pas toujours l'attitude que devraient avoir les responsables juifs par rapport aux opinions locales. Le langage qu'on peut dire à Tel Aviv ou à Jérusalem n'est pas exactement le même langage qu'on peut tenir. Et l'absence de discours des responsables juifs pèse énormément à ce moment-là. Je crois, pour ma part, je considère que c'est une responsabilité, que c'est une faute, pour les responsables, pour les leaders juifs européens, de ne pas parler en ces circonstances.
There is a difficulty for local Jewish leaders. They fear that separation of their position from that of Israel, of course, can be used by the enemies of Israel. Therefore, they remain silent. He's speaking particularly for what he knows, the France, Belgium, French language countries. Inasmuch as the local Jewish leadership in these countries do not have a language of their own, only one voice is heard. It is heard strongly, it is heard in the media. And since there is no local voice, only that of the Prime Minister of Israel, and even while this may be that of the majority of Jews, especially of the Jews in places where bombs and explosions take place, it is not an attitude that necessarily should be that of the local leadership. And Mr. Heidenberg believes that this failure to speak out and have a position of their own weighs heavily in the balance and is finally a fault.
Pour terminer brièvement sur ce point, je voudrais dire que lorsque la situation des Juifs en diaspora est concernée par des explosions de bombes ou par des crises antisémitiques, il serait normalement aux Juifs eux-mêmes de prendre position. Je veux dire qu'ils ont à ce moment-là, en tant que responsables, avoir la propre dignité de juif, de leader, et de prendre position eux-mêmes, et de ne pas attendre que ce soit en Israël qu'on prenne position pour eux. Deuxièmement, si on peut comprendre qu'en Israël, on s'intéresse à ce qui se passe en Europe et ce qui arrive à des juifs, il faudrait qu'on arrive quand même à la situation où les juifs de diaspora se fassent suffisamment respecter du gouvernement d'Israël pour être au moins entendus, pour être des interlocuteurs valables, et dans le cas de bombes en Europe ou de crise d'antisémitisme en Europe, qu'il y ait pour le moins consultation, et pas consultation par l'intermédiaire des ambassadeurs, qui sont finalement des gens qui court-circuitent les états d'âme des communautés juives, mais qu'il y ait des contacts directs qui s'établissent à Jérusalem, qu'il y ait des délégations des communautés juives qui soient appelées à Jérusalem très rapidement, pour avoir leur point de vue, leurs sentiments, leur analyse sur la situation. Et ça rejoint ce qui s'est passé également au début de l'intervention israélienne au Liban. Nous avons connu, dans un autre sens, en France, le fait que la communauté juive a été pratiquement 15 jours sans aucune analyse, sans aucun élément sur le pourquoi de l'intervention israélienne au Liban et quels seront les dûs et jusqu'où on irait. Ce qui fait que, au niveau même de la propagande pour Israël en France, la plupart des responsables juifs se sont trouvés sans le moindre élément d'information, la moindre analyse qui leur permette de répondre aux attaques dont était l'objet Israël à ce moment-là, et pas simplement par rapport aux goyim, par rapport au monde non-juif, mais par rapport aux juifs eux-mêmes. Je crois que je suis très heureux.
It's normal for Israel to be occupied with the situation of Jews in the diaspora, but it's also normal for the Jews themselves in the diaspora to take position. Dignity itself requires this. And it is up to the diaspora Jews to make themselves respected in Israel and by Israeli leadership, and that there should be consultation with them, not through ambassadors of Israel, who usually short-circuit what they have to say, but directly, so that he would hope there would be that kind of consultation in the future. He gives another example of this work in the opposite direction, as regards the situation and the invasion of Lebanon. Here were 15 days where, by the habit of waiting for Israel to react in Israel's position, local leadership had no position, no explanation as to what was happening, why the Israelis were going in. There was no analysis, and this hurt Israel's own propaganda and own position here, not to mention that of the local Jewish community itself.
Alors, juste dernier point avant de... Je conclue simplement maintenant pour dire une chose. Je suis heureux de cette réunion. Et je crois qu'il faut prendre conscience, à l'échelle européenne tout au moins, et je suis content qu'il y ait un représentant de la communauté juive américaine, mais au niveau de la communauté européenne, si chaque communauté a effectivement des difficultés pour se faire entendre, se faire comprendre, peut-être à Jérusalem, en tout cas il serait important, vu aujourd'hui les analyses communes qui ont été faites sur le plan des médias, sur la répercussion, il faudrait revenir dessus, sur l'antisémitisme, l'antisionisme, etc., qu'il y ait plus fréquemment des réunions de responsables européens et qu'il y ait ces responsables européens qui, de temps en temps, aillent tous ensemble se faire entendre à Jérusalem aussi pour porter leur analyse, sur la situation des Juifs en Europe et sur les répercussions que peut avoir le conflit israélo-arabe au Proche-Orient sur la situation des Juifs en Europe et comment c'est vécu ici et comment c'est vécu d'ailleurs des médias européens. Voilà, je voulais conclure, je reprendrai la parole tout à l'heure sur un autre plan, si vous voulez bien.
In conclusion, he's very happy for this meeting and that American Jews are represented here. And if there are difficulties for local communities to be heard, I think there was an implication that perhaps the American, though it was not stated, perhaps the American Jewish community might be able to do perhaps a little more in that particular respect, but that's another thing. He concludes to ask to urge that there be more such meetings and the possibility for Jewish communities together to go to Jerusalem to give their point of view and the repercussions that the Arab-Israel conflict could have upon their situation.
Well, that's a lot.
Si vous m'accordez encore 5 minutes, je voudrais faire quelques commentaires sur d'autres points qui ont été... Oui. On a beaucoup parlé des sondages d'opinion. En ce qui concerne l'antisémitisme, je crois qu'il ne faut pas confondre. Il peut y avoir plus de sympathie pour Israël ou moins de sympathie, ça a été dit. Donc, je ne crois pas que ça serve à l'analyse sur l'antisémitisme même. Juste un point par rapport à ça. Au moment où la sympathie pour Israël, elle était la plus forte en France, dire en 1967, c'est à ce moment-là que le général de Gaulle a changé de politique vis-à-vis d'Israël. Juste pour dire que ce n'est pas toujours la sympathie dans l'opinion publique que caractérisent les sondages qui font la politique d'un État vis-à-vis d'Israël. C'est la relation de force qu'il peut y avoir avec les gouvernements en place qui font que la politique de ce gouvernement peut changer ou ne pas changer. Et donc nous ne pouvons pas aujourd'hui avoir simplement une analyse politique par rapport à l'opinion publique en général, c'est par rapport aux gouvernants qu'il faut avoir une attitude politique.
He wanted to speak about polls and being much discussed, and to point out, and it was pointed out to him that it had been discussed, that there is no isomorphic relationship between support for or non-support for Israel and support or non-support with regard to being anti-Semitic. He pointed out further, as one example, that when pro-Israel sentiment was strongest in France, 1967, is just that moment when General de Gaulle switched policy, so the analysis has to be not public sentiment, but of the interest and the relations of the states and of the politics with regard to it.
Je crois que nous-mêmes, nous tombons dans le piège que nous tendent nos adversaires par leur propagande. Je crois que vous avez abordé ce point, antisionisme, antisémitisme, ou antisémitisme, antisionisme. Je crois qu'aujourd'hui, il faudrait essayer nous-mêmes, par rapport à la politique d'Israël, de dégager un autre concept. Ce n'est pas parce que des gens s'opposent à la politique d'Israël qu'ils doivent être considérés comme antisionistes. Si nous disons nous-mêmes que ceux qui s'opposent à la politique d'Israël sont antisionistes, c'est-à-dire qu'à chaque fois qu'on s'oppose à tel acte politique du gouvernement d'Israël, que finalement, j'ouvre une parenthèse, on peut critiquer dans n'importe quelle démocratie. Aujourd'hui, j'ai le droit de critiquer la politique du gouvernement des États-Unis comme j'ai le droit de critiquer la politique du gouvernement de la France. Et nous ne nous en privons pas en tant que juifs. Si à chaque fois nous disons que n'importe quel leader politique qui critique Israël est un antisioniste, nous faisons un abus de langage qui remet en cause Israël même. Je voudrais, moi, pour ma part, qu'on puisse accepter qu'il y ait une critique de telle ou telle position d'Israël sans que cela soit pris de la part de cet homme politique comme une remise en cause d'Israël. Parce qu'il ne faudrait pas qu'on puisse remettre en cause Israël parce qu'il y a telle ou telle erreur politique, même si c'est une grave erreur politique.
He believes it would be an error that we fall in the trap of our opponents when we too start equating anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism or vice versa. Another concept is needed. We cannot consider that everybody who takes an anti-Israel position or an anti-Zionist is therefore anti-Zionist or anti-Semitic. In parenthesis, obviously everybody has the right to criticize. We too do not deprive ourselves of that privilege with regard to Israeli particular policies. We abuse language, however, if we are not able to make this distinction between those who criticize and those who are fundamentally anti-Semitic or anti-Zionist, then we hurt our own cause and so do.
Question. Comment, if you will, on how is regarded in France the anti-Zionist ambiance of the United Nations, where Zionism is openly equated with racism. The implication is clear that it has an anti-Semitic tinge to it, or at least American Jews are of the firm opinion that the greatest disseminator of anti-Semitism in the world today is the United Nations, which takes its form in attacking Zionism.
I would like to say that nobody, I believe, here around this table would give as definition of anti-Zionism the fact of criticizing this or this action of the government of Israel. I believe anti-Zionism is a well-definite notion of people who don't accept the existence of the state of Israel. And for instance, I would say, at the limit, I could say that somebody like Chesson is between the two, because every of his actions is against Israel. But when Mitterrand, for instance, gives regularly some criticism against the government of Israel, I still consider Mitterrand as one of the best friends of Israel. So anti-Zionism is not this the fact of criticizing Begin. Absolutely not.
What he meant is overreacting in making the criticism of Israel anti-Zionist.
Nobody said that here.
Nous sommes dans une difficulté de propagande sur ce point-là. C'est-à-dire qu'il y a des moments où cela nous sert de dire d'un adversaire qu'il est antisémite ou antisioniste. Mais nous devons contrôler cet abus de langage dont nous nous servons nous-mêmes dans certaines circonstances. Parce que dans d'autres circonstances, il se retourne contre nous. Donc il y a une difficulté qu'on doit essayer de cerner, je crois qu'on ne l'a jamais fait. On doit déjà prendre conscience du problème. parce que cet abus de langage peut se retourner contre notre propre propagande pour Israël. Alors je voulais souligner ce point. Il y a... Ok.
We have a propaganda difficulty. To call an adversary anti-Semitic or anti-Zionist is sometimes an advantage for us. But he warns, Mr. Heisenberg warns, that to abuse this will cause difficulties for us and turn against us in the long run.
Attends, je voudrais conclure sur une autre observation. On s'est réunis pour parler de l'antisémitisme, et qui dit antisémitisme parle surtout du monde des goyim. Personnellement, je suis très inquiet en ce qui concerne même l'image d'Israël dans le monde juif. Et je dirais que l'antisémitisme aujourd'hui, ça devrait être l'affaire des autres, ça veut dire des goyim, c'est leur problème. J'exagère un peu parce que ça reste encore notre problème, mais disons que c'est en grande partie leur problème. L'image d'Israël dans le monde juif, c'est notre problème. Et quand on a analysé ce qui s'est passé au niveau des médias, c'est pas simplement le monde non juif qui est concerné, mais c'est le monde juif. Et donc c'est l'avenir des juifs et c'est l'avenir d'Israël. Alors je voudrais juste conclure sur un point très brièvement. Je crois que Nelly Gutmann l'a dit tout à l'heure. En ce qui concerne l'expérience qu'on a en France, vous savez qu'il y avait beaucoup de gens, quand nous avons parlé du vote juif, quand nous avons parlé des prises de position de la communauté juive vis-à-vis de Giscard d'Estaing, qui étaient très angoissés, très anxieux, qui craignaient une crise antisémitique. Je crois que les mêmes, d'ailleurs, craignent encore cette crise antisémitisme. Je veux dire que notre expérience historique nous prouve qu'il faut effectivement être prudent. Ceci dit, la communauté juive peut certainement être accepté aujourd'hui avec des positions spécifiques, particulières, alors qu'on n'imaginait certainement pas il y a une dizaine d'années seulement. Aujourd'hui, le juif, en tant qu'être différent, avec son alliance privilégiée avec Israël, est finalement accepté globalement par l'establishment politique en France. Et je crois que ça, c'est important. C'est une étape décisive en ce qui concerne l'Europe. Je ne parle pas des États-Unis, mais en ce qui concerne
l'Europe. Positive.
Je crois qu'elle est positive dans la mesure où on accepte aujourd'hui que le juif est différent, alors que le juif se veut différent. Que le juif porte sa différence lui-même. C'est-à-dire que nous avons dit, en ce qui nous concerne, qu'effectivement, nous ne sommes pas comme les autres. Nos dirigeants ont demandé qu'on nous considère comme les autres et qu'on vote comme les autres, etc. Et nous avons dit, nous sommes certainement des citoyens comme tous les autres Français, mais nous avons notre propre spécificité qui est aussi politique. Et aujourd'hui, je crois que globalement, les journalistes, par le monde politique, c'est accepté. Alors, est-ce que c'est bien, est-ce que c'est pas bien? C'est une question idéologique. Est-ce que ça veut dire, on peut la poser en termes de sionisme, si c'est bien ou pas, parce qu'on peut savoir si c'est bien que les, c'est pas dans... En termes existentiels juifs, je crois que c'est une étape. C'est une étape importante. Ça veut dire que les juifs, aujourd'hui, ne craignent pas d'affirmer leur spécificité, et pas seulement religieuse, pas seulement culturelle, mais politique. Je crois que ça, ici, pas par rapport aux États-Unis, mais en Europe, je crois que c'est une étape importante, sauf par rapport à l'Angleterre, où il y avait déjà cette étape qui avait été plus ou moins franchie. Bon. Donc ceci, pour dire une chose, c'est que ce qui est important aujourd'hui, peut-être plus pour les Juifs, c'est ce que pensent les goïms des Juifs, et ce que les Juifs pensent eux-mêmes des Juifs et d'Israël, et le fait que les Juifs restent Juifs. Alors je crois qu'on a raison de faire un colloque sur l'antisémitisme, parce que c'est une question qui se pose encore à nous. Mais véritablement pour moi, la question aujourd'hui n'est pas la crainte de l'antisémitisme, mais la crainte que les Juifs disparaissent en tant que tels. Et si malheureusement les Juifs restent encore Juifs, où on dénote à chaque fois un renouveau juif, c'est encore une fois par rapport aux juifs de Sarthe, c'est-à-dire, effectivement, il y a encore beaucoup de juifs qui sont revenus vers la communauté par rapport à la façon dont les médias ont commenté l'intervention israélienne au Liban. Et je dis que ça, c'est grave, parce que finalement, l'alia, ou le fait simplement que les juifs restent juifs en diaspora, ne devrait pas être la conséquence de l'attitude des antisémites par rapport à nous, mais simplement le reflet de ce que nous pensons nous-mêmes de l'image du juif et d'Israël. Alors, pour conclure, très rapidement, je crois que ce qui s'est passé au Liban, l'intervention israélienne au Liban, quel que soit finalement ce qu'on en pense les uns et les autres, et je dirais quel que soit le gouvernement en place en Israël, ce qui est important maintenant, c'est que la plupart des juifs se ressentent juifs ou vivent leur judaïsme à travers Israël. Et donc que l'image qu'Israël peut donner aux juifs de la façon dont se comporte un juif qui a un gouvernement, qui a une armée, etc., peut être encore plus importante pour nous, pour le monde juif, que pour le monde des goïms. Et on ne doit pas simplement s'interroger de ce que ressentent les goïms, mais de ce que peuvent ressentir les juifs, ceux qui sont dans les lycées, ceux qui sont dans les facultés, ceux qui sont finalement ceux qui vont prendre des responsabilités dans la communauté juive de demain. Et pour moi, c'est une réponse qu'il faudra essayer de donner, et aussi un dialogue qu'il faudrait instaurer avec les dirigeants israéliens. Voilà simplement ce que je voulais dire.
To speak of anti-Semitism is really to speak of goyim and what bothers them. But I am worried about the image of the Jews and of Israel among Jews. Anti-Semitism, I might say, in an exaggerated fashion, is the problem of the goyim. But what Jews think of themselves is our problem, as is the future and affects the future of Jews and of Israel. I would like to conclude with what Nelly Gutman mentioned. Many are worried about anti-Semitism and this anti-Semitic crisis, that there would be an anti-Semitic crisis during the recent months. The Jewish community today, and this is something which would not have been possible even 10 or 12 years ago, is accepted as being specific, different, having its own positions, and is so accepted by the political community and by the general French community. That it has a specific alliance with Israel is also accepted, as was not the case some years ago. Is this good? Is this bad? It is a question of ideology. It happens to be an important existentialist stage in Jewish history at the present time, this recognition of Judaism per se, not only as a religion, but also on political and cultural grounds. The problem is that our leadership wants us to be like others rather than a certain specificity. What is important to us is more. What is more important for us, more important than what others think of us, is what we think of ourselves. Mr. Hodgenberg is worried indeed that Jews will disappear because they have defined themselves and they are coming back to the community, not for internal reasons of how they view themselves, but for what might be called Sartrean reasons as to how others view them. And this, for ourselves in Israel, is a very grave, because, as he says, it should be our own opinion of ourselves that is a determining factor in this situation. Today, Lebanon gave us an example of a problem that we have, because most Jews live out their Judaism today through Israel, so what we feel and how we react with the mises and schools and so on is part of a reflection of what happens in Israel as well as happens to us all. And this is the kind of image and discussion, self-image, that we must have dialogues upon, as well as upon episodes.
I tell a little anecdote to answer to that. The difference of the Jews is what they call in French, I don't know, the arme à double tranchant. Because this difference can be made in a positive sense, it can also be made in a negative sense. And I would give you a little example, not very important maybe, but very symptomatic concerning Belgian television about that. After the bombing of the synagogue in Antwerp, there was a very long reportage about that with pictures, interviews, and so on. And after this was completed, the speaker said, let's come back to Belgian affairs. So it was very badly filmed by all the Jewish community in Belgium. And this was clearly the difference you spoke about in the bad sense.
Twice in the French TV, one of the most famous presenters, Christine Ockren, said about the CRIF, Conseil représentatif des Israéliens de France, not Conseil représentatif des Juifs de France.
Encore une belge.
For a belge.
by the way, one question to you. You also mentioned the fact that there's a Jewish specificity in the cultural and other fields, yet you were worried about it, whereas in other countries, for example, we see this as a reawakening in ways we never even expected a decade ago of a specifically Jewish culture in France, and a positive attitude toward Jewish culture and Jewish events, and yet here you have negative doubts about it.
We are mixed up, in other words.
I have no negative feelings about it from the Jewish point of view. I think that's a good thing. But your specific question was, does anti-Semitic prejudice decrease or increase? And I had the feeling, if you compare the situation of the Jews as, in fact, totally accepted Dutchmen within 20 years after the Second World War, that changed now, that they see the Jews as a specific group, and they pinpointed by their Jewish background. I just wanted to show that it might be also a tendency of increased prejudice against Jews. So I had no negative feelings from the Jewish point of view on that.
Andrea Nagoshko, do you have anything to add? Io credo che l'essere avere questa posizione così precisa all'interno di un paese in cui si è ebrei con una specificità ben precisa e con questo legame così preciso con Israele sia pericoloso per il ritmo della diaspora, per un motivo ben preciso, un motivo fisico. Vuol dire che gli ebrei non sono né nel paese dove vivono, perché non si sentono abbastanza agganciati col paese, né in Israele, perché non votano in Israele e non possono influenzare la politica di Israele con il loro voto. Quindi con un doppio pericolo, che si ritrovano a dover rispondere della politica israeliana senza poterlo influenzare, e si trovano a dover rispondere al paese nel quale sono per questo legame con Israele. Quindi un doppio binario in cui fisicamente non sono né di qua né di là.
Adriana would like to point out that to have a precise position for the Jewish community in any country according to its links with Israel, it constitutes a danger for diaspora Jewry. First of all, from a physical motive, because they find themselves in a position of ambiguity and of contradiction, both in the physical country where they live and also in Israel, because they are not voting in Israel. So they find themselves actually in a kind of vacuum.
Pour répondre, je crois qu'il y a des problèmes sur la politique d'Israël, sur les grandes décisions d'Israël. Il ne peut pas être question que les Juifs de diaspora puissent prendre position de toute façon sur ce qui concerne la défense nationale d'Israël. Il n'y a même pas les éléments. Mais il y a deux points. Il y a une politique qui peut concerner les Juifs, et on le voit maintenant que finalement les répercussions de la politique israélienne concerne toutes les communautés juives, même dans leur existence physique, en certains cas. Simplement, d'ailleurs, j'ouvre une parenthèse, il faudrait se poser la question pourquoi il y a des attentats en Europe et il n'y en a pas aux États-Unis alors que la plus forte communauté est américaine. On n'a pas répondu à cette question, mais enfin, je pense qu'on pourrait s'interroger. Deuxièmement, je crois que il y a, de la part des dirigeants d'Israël, l'analyse que les Juifs doivent être la première ligne de défense dans les pays occidentaux de la politique d'Israël. À partir de ce moment-là, une fois que la décision est prise à Jérusalem de faire telle ou telle politique, on peut quand même avoir au minimum une discussion avec les dirigeants des communautés juives européennes pour essayer de leur faire comprendre le pourquoi de cette politique et pour essayer de leur donner des éléments pour la défendre. C'est un minimum qu'on doit, à mon avis, aujourd'hui exiger d'Israël. Les Juifs ne peuvent pas être simplement des pions complètement stupides pour défendre Israël à retardement et sans les éléments. Je crois que c'est de l'intérêt même d'Israël.
One great problem with regard to the defense of Israel. With regard to the great problems, with regard to subject like the defense of Israel, diaspora Jews cannot take position. But two points ought to be made with regard to it. When you see first that Israeli positions can affect diaspora Jews. And by the way, we haven't asked ourselves here why, where such Israeli positions can even affect the lives of Jews, we haven't asked ourselves why there have been no attacks against the Jews in the United States. It's something that perhaps we ought to ask ourselves. The second point is that the Israeli leaders see the diaspora Jews as the first line troops of defense in propagating or defending any particular position. So we have even all the more reason why we should demand of Israel that we have discussions between diaspora Jews and Israel, so we can take positions with some understanding of these positions and not as simply as pawns who are unwittingly and unknowingly advanced on the checkerboard.
And as payers also.
As
payers also.
And contributors.
Yes, as giving money to Israel also.
So they also contribute.
No, I think that we are actually moving around the circus. We have said that basically everybody is saying the same thing with different emphasis on the question. The idea is that it is clear that it is necessary for the Jews and the for the Jews to find this very middle way, which is very difficult to find, between supporting Israel, being aware of the need to support Israel and their need to assert themselves as Jews and their own problems, especially with regards to anti-Semitism, with regards to terrorist attacks in their own country. Now, I think that the question is whether this group would be basically willing to formulate a kind of a joint statement on this thing. And it seems to me that parallel to a kind of a call or an appeal, I don't like the term appeal because it seems like we're going down our knees to appeal to something, whether we don't also think that it is worth our while to make it clearer to the American Jewry, because they are the leaders of the Jewish world, and I do not think that European Jews, unfortunately, can make themselves heard in Israel. I think the American Jewry, we must go with them, otherwise I don't think there will be much chances of being heard, except for when there is a bomb and Begin said that he will send his troops to protect the Jews at the Rue de Rosier. Normally there is no interest in what is happening among Jews. So I think that it is time for us to see whether there is some kind of a joint opinion. I think there is, and not to go around and say the same things.
I'm sorry, no, go ahead.
No,
after you.
No.
I think in the last 10 or 15 minutes, we sort of have completely changed what we were talking about in the hours that we were. What we've established is that there is anti-Semitism. It's not in our imagination. It has nothing at all to do with what's happening in Israel, other than that the anti-Semites, the structural anti-Semites, have been using what's happened in Israel in order to continue their campaign against Jews. I certainly wouldn't even consider forming some kind of a consensus which would use our meeting in order to provide another stick against Israel. I would issue a minority view if anybody had tried that. It happened in the World Jewish Congress, and we must avoid that at all costs.
Not against Israel.
Because it's not against Israel, but it's used against Israel. I don't want to be a party.
If you're convinced it's Israel, you don't have to.
Now, what we were called together, I understood, was how to help the situation.
Right.
Now, we haven't discussed that. We've now gone into the philosophical aspects of the problem. When I thought in the last hours, the Ni'ilah, we were going to come forward with some kind of suggestions as how, in a practical way, we could improve the situation. If I could have a few minutes to talk about that, I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
First of all, as far as Tamara was concerned, I agree with Tamar that it would be very, very disadvantageous for us to concentrate an attack on the media.
Nevertheless, that should be one of the aspects.
How to attack the media rather than how to attack the
media. It shouldn't be the main focus of our attention tomorrow, but only one aspect of it. Nevertheless, I think we're entitled to talk tomorrow about the distortions without becoming hysterical or paranoid. And I think for that extent, Tamar is right. Now, if I could have a few minutes to talk about what I would think is some of the things we could do. First of all, we haven't really discussed very much what are the legal steps that one could take on an international basis, but based on the different national groupings that are here, what legal remedies there are. We've mentioned the action which didn't work in Sweden, the action against Felderer.
Nevertheless, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet, and it's dragged out for 2 years. It shows there is some problem there in using a legal remedy. In Britain, there is a race relations law, which we've attempted to use and which had great effect, although no action was brought. The fact that we referred Ken Livingstone to the Attorney General for prosecution under the race relations law, and this is the first time we did it with a left-wing organization. Until now, we had always confined these references to the extreme right. Although no prosecution was laid, it had a tremendous effect, and this was brought out by the Evening Standard, which is a newspaper which was campaigning against Livingstone, so that we were able to identify anti-Zionism as anti-Semitism very effectively. But what here, the group like the race relations law, because it requires the national government, the Attorney General, to maintain an action, involves questions of the invasion of free speech and censorship by governments. Therefore, I have come to the conclusion that a group libel law might be much more effective, which would give, as in France and other countries have, which would give recognized ethnic minority organizations, including the Jewish community, the right to maintain an action for group defamation against Jews, so that if people talk about Zionist-Nazi collaboration, that the Holocaust is a hoax, that we be on the grounds that Jews tried to take Palestine from the Arabs or tried to get reparations from the Germans. That is, that's a
good... You can't forbid that. I don't see in which way you can legally forbid people to say that... that
yes, you could. If you give... If you say, if we said about an individual that he committed a fraud, that individual could maintain an action for slander or defamation or libel. Now, what we're saying is that that same right that individuals have should be given to an entire ethnic minority, so that if somebody says that black people are inferior,
each country separately.
We have it.
No, of course,
no,
each country
separately.
Some countries have it, some countries don't.
Right, I'm suggesting that in those countries that don't have it, we should be pushing for it.
Which country does not have it?
United States.
Well, United States has it because you have the First Amendment.
Most countries have it.
It doesn't exist in Sweden too. Maybe two cases prosecuted during 5 or 10 years. None of them successful.
You say prosecuted by whom?
By the legal attorney, but you are not allowed. As a group to indict or to go to court. You can't file a private suit against somebody.
Precisely the point that I'm trying to make. When the government does it, that is an invasion on the rights of people to criticize. If that right were given not to governments, but to recognized groups which represent the various ethnic minorities. A corporation has that right. If you libel a corporation, if you libel International Telephone or a Ford Corporation, Ford can maintain an action. Why should a corporation have that collective right, but not a group, whether they're Jews or West Indians or Kurds or Druze or even Arabs?
it exists in France and in Belgium, and it doesn't work.
It exists in Holland.
It's a bad example, because that's an obvious lie, telling that that the Holocaust didn't exist.
That's all we want. That's
what I want.
Yes,
but you wanted very largely, even that that people shouldn't be allowed to say that the Jews took Palestine from the Arabs.
No. That the Jews invented the myth of the Holocaust in order to take.
Okay.
Now, along legal lines, we might consider laws which restrict the investment or funding by foreign countries of groups within the various countries. So that the United States has a law which requires the registration of foreign agents. Under that law, William Grimstad, registered as an agent of the Saudi Arabian government. Now, once you have that, we were able to use that registration of Grimstad now, because he was now acting on behalf of Nazi groups to spread the ideas of historical revisionism. In Britain, we've tried, for instance, and it hasn't yet been succeeded, to have newspapers whose shares, that's more than 10% of their shares, are owned by foreign governments or foreign investors, have to register that fact. That would control some newspapers, such as the Workers' Revolutionary Party, which are now subsidizing other left-wing groups by
publishing. Make clear their origins. Not control, but make clear their origins.
Right.
But
okay.
It can work against us too. Yes.
Well, I'm quite willing that any...
No money from Israel.
Yeah,
It
might be good.
I am quite...
It's very easy to redirect to make money and everything.
Why not?
That's the easiest problem.
Believe me, we can't compete with the Arabs. We talked about... Tamar talked about Israel's manipulation of
very
the press.
Dangerous.
We can't compete with the Arabs in this. Let's say that nobody has a right to pay money secretly into another country to spread.
We could reverse it and defend people to give money to other countries, and that would be very bad for Israel.
They do that anyway under the income tax laws and other things. They do that anyway.
There's a technical problem that you can't control. Subsidies given for classified ads. I mean, you can sponsor papers by,
But that's obvious. It's
not very obvious.
If they do,
we're already 15 minutes ahead of Lydia. So may I suggest that you conclude your set of suggestions so that we can go around and see the other sets of suggestions and draw some collective conclusions.
I think that we should, the Jewish communities all over the world have been on the defensive. We wait until we're attacked, and then we try to respond, we try to explain. I think that that's a mistake. I think we should keep the enemy so busy that he doesn't have time to attack us. Now, for instance, we did that in Britain with the National Front. For many years, the Jewish community used to answer every charge that the National Front used to make against the Jews. Instead of that, we took the offensive. We produced 4 million pieces of literature exposing the National Front as not being an anti-immigrant patriotic group that was more British than the Conservative Party, but we showed that they were actually Nazis. We proved it, that we so discredited them that they are now, as I told earlier, have been fragmented. Similarly, we should expose the connections between the extreme left and the Arabs, as again we did with the Labour Herald, Ken Livingston. We should talk about the similarities between the left and the right in their approach to anti-Zionism. That has had the effect, for instance, on campus, of banning some of the pro-Arab groups which were held to have been guilty of anti-Semitism rather than anti-Zionism because we showed that they were using the same literature as the National Front.
When you say we, do you suggest
the Jewish
suggest
community,
that we think,
the individual.
You mean collectively as European communities?
No, as individuals, we can't act on an international basis. We'd be no what? More effective than the common market. What we have to do is, in our own individual countries, in our own individual countries, we should learn from each other and adopt our own policies. I think that we should be talking about Israel as a bulwark against Soviet imperialism. We should talk about the Syrian-Soviet alliance and that Israel is the first line of defense for the West.
It's a very bad argument. It's the argument of the left.
What I say is this. What we're doing now is we are so much now worried about what the left says about Israel that we are neglecting, we begin to think that the whole world is left. That's because we've always had a kind of a sympathy towards the left and an antagonism towards the right. I think we have to change our thinking a little bit. Most people are anti-left. Why should we always try to do everything to satisfy Trotskyists? I can't conceive of that as being a sensible policy. I'll stop now.
No.
I thought we were going to use this period.
Yeah,
but you're 10 people, and we all...
Well, I'll wait until everybody. I'm quite... No. You conclude your part, and
then... I'm trying to do as briefly as I can.
Yeah, but it's a long briefness.
I'm willing to stop now. What can I do? I mean, you want me to...
Now you're elaborating on this bulwark anti-Soviet.
We haven't discussed that. I mean, it's something that that one should discuss.
Yes, but you cannot talk.
I think you can mention it, but you can't discuss it. You don't have time.
I have
a different
views, and right
to
set them out, set them forth. This is the problem.
I think we should be talking about the rights of non-Arab, non-Muslim minorities in the Middle East, the rights of the Kurds, the Druze, and the Christians, the Maronite Christians. There are more Christians than Muslims in the West, and why shouldn't we? And part of the reason why the opinions have moved towards the Jews back to Israel in America is the fact that secretly many Christians were glad that the Jews were helping the Christians in the Lebanon against Muslim oppression. We should be talking about the persecution of the Baha'i in Iran, the Kurds in Syria and Iraq. I think then also we should exploit divisions amongst the enemies. Even amongst the Trotskyists there are divisions. In Britain there is now a lawsuit by the Labour Herald Group, which is one brand of Trotskyism, against the Socialist Organizers Alliance on the grounds that the Socialist Organizers Alliance accused the Labour Herald Group of taking money from the Libyans. And in fact, our own the Board of Deputies received secret information from the Socialist Organizers Alliance about the Labour Herald because it was in their interest to attack each other. We should exploit those differences. Lastly, I would say, what is the most important, what's come out of this meeting is I've learned a lot from listening around the table to the similarities of your problems to ours. And I don't think it's an accident. I believe what we are unveiling here is an international campaign by both the neo-Nazis on the one hand and by the Arabs on the other. For instance, you in the Netherlands now have a football problem.
We're in the suggestion stage.
Right. You have a football problem, a football hooliganism. Now, I have no doubt, after listening to what you're talking about, that this is a direct imitation of the neo-Nazis using the football terraces in Britain. You have Ajax, we have Tottenham against Arsenal. Now, knowing that every year at Dixmude, the Nazis meet to discuss their international campaign, that if we alert each other, if we keep in contact, if we inform each other of what's happening in our own countries, you will then be able to pick up a pattern of behavior on an international level, which we can identify and then do something about.
This is what the World Jewish Congress tries to do.
Well, we shouldn't, I don't think we should limit ourselves. I'm not talking about setting up a rival group, but I'm not in favor of that. Nevertheless, we represent different organizations in our own countries, and we've made the connection now, the links between us, and I think we should continue it, even if it's on an informal level, and we just exchange information on a regular basis.
Okay, this was a very interesting set of suggestions, and I think we can use it as a background if we can elaborate further. Any other suggestions?
Very long time.
Yeah.
No.
You have to say something?
No. The only thing I can say that what Dr. De Beers, the set of suggestions of Dr. De Beers seem to be more or less already been used in most of our countries. Let's just say French and Belgium have, I think, the most elaborate law against racialism and anti-Semitism. So there is nothing, there is not much to achieve in this field, only making trials, and that's what we're doing. We're doing to the work about the fascist and the leftist links, the support of PLO and so on and so on. I don't know. I would say maybe it sounds awkward, but when I remember our first meeting 2 years ago, what I still remember was that our next problem, our next main problem, may be the image of Israel. Mm-hmm. And 2 years after, I think it was a very big dealing of our meeting. So. Maybe just I could suggest that we have not meetings once in 2 years, but once a year, just to listen from each other what's going on and what you can do. Not more. I'm sorry, Nils. I know you don't like that.
No, the problem is this. Maybe as Europeans, we should set up our own system of mutual consultation without having the Americans coming to help us out. And in this sense, I must say,
you invite me
within, within the World Jewish Congress, myself and we have been fighting, and we are having a meeting in Stockholm in May. There is a suggestion that the European branch of the World Jewish Congress establish itself as a European Jewish Congress precisely for the motives and for the of which both Gewirtz and Heisenberg were suggesting. I mean, the idea is to have a body which can be an instrument of collective representation vis-à-vis our governments, vis-à-vis the international organizations, and vis-à-vis the state of Israel.
I mean, I tell you quite honestly, I have never received a communication from the World Jewish Congress in the 10 years that I've been with the Board of Deputies.
Well, maybe you receive, they don't get on your desk.
Well, why not? And why, since my department is the one that deals with
anti-Semitism. Just ask Steve Roth and he will make it.
Well, I mean, if I have to, I mean, that's the point that I'm trying to make. The World Jewish Congress, I don't criticize it, but the World Jewish Congress...
Ask David Jenner, after all. David Jenner is vice president. You should be in contact
I'll talk
with
to you later about
excellent idea, because Greville is vice president, so you should.
Have you ever spoken to Greville?
I've tried to.
Well, there you are.
get another friend, chairman of the
board.
Yes.
No,
Heisenberg on
Je crois que les problèmes d'antisémitisme auxquels on était confrontés jusqu'à il y a 2 ans ne sont plus les mêmes aujourd'hui. Et nous ne maîtrisions pas la situation, mais nous ne la maîtrisons plus du tout aujourd'hui. Je veux dire, il y a une politique d'Israël qui est celle que l'on connaît, peu importe le gouvernement qui la pratique. Je veux dire que le gouvernement d'Israël, quel qu'il soit, décide de bien faire, de faire ce qu'il pense le mieux pour les habitants d'Israël, dans la défense de l'État juif. À partir de ce moment-là, l'image d'Israël à l'extérieur importe peu, sauf si le gouvernement des États-Unis pouvait changer de politique par rapport à Israël. Je veux dire que si cette image était tellement négative que par les sondages d'opinion qu'il pourrait y avoir en Israël, il y aurait un retournement politique dans l'appui à l'État juif, à ce moment-là, on en prendrait acte en Israël. Mais il y a une politique, il faut être, je crois, aujourd'hui très réaliste.